I'm going to be looking at 1 Timothy chapter 1. I'm going to do verses 1 through 11. So I'm going to read that, and then we'll get started at looking at this passage here. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, my own son, in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went unto Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned, from which some, having swerved, have turned aside into vain jangling or foolish talking, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and the disobedient, for the ungodly, for the sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers and fathers of murderers, of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men-stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. So, Paul opens up this letter to Timothy. In verse 1, we see God our Savior and Jesus our hope. He wastes no time, Paul doesn't, in recognizing the importance of these two facts. And it's going to be important to what Paul's asking Timothy to do. As he stays in Ephesus, it's important that Timothy recognizes that outside of his own power, outside of his own, or outside of the power of the saving grace of God and of Christ, he's not going to be able to do any of these things that Paul is asking him, encouraging him to do. And so he leads with that. God our Savior and our Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. He leads with that. The hope that is found in the true gospel message, which is what Paul is calling Timothy to proclaim and to protect. That's the message. That's the foundation of it. And so Timothy, as he attempts to do the things that Paul's asking him to do, as he attempts to proclaim and protect the true gospel, we'll need those two realities. God is the Savior and Christ is our hope. Paul writes to Timothy with a benediction of grace, mercy, and peace. We see that in verse 2. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Timothy is being asked by Paul to remain at Ephesus, so Timothy can instruct in the one true teaching of the gospel, so he can profess an accurate reality of the one true gospel of Christ. He's given a charge. Timothy is given a charge by Paul, and it is a difficult one. It's one that's going to require all of those things that Paul is saying here. Grace, mercy, and peace. Paul wishes all of these things on Timothy so that he might be a faithful minister in God's kingdom. Where grace will be needed to faithfully discharge false teaching. Mercy will be needed when he comes up short of the glory of God. And where peace will be needed from God when Timothy is met with discouragement which will undoubtedly come. Paul understands that all three of these things, grace, peace, and mercy, will be needed in the ministry as Timothy attempts to proclaim the true gospel, to preach that in a place that has grabbed on to false teachings that have done away with the true gospel and are gravitating towards a gospel based on a head knowledge or vain questions that just lead to speculation and then more speculation. But what Paul is telling Timothy to do here is to go and to faithfully dispatch of those false teachings and to faithfully build up a true gospel. And I have here in my notes just a side note off of that. Those that are called to be ministers in the kingdom of God, they need encouragement and uplifting and prayer. It was true back then in Paul and Timothy's times, and it's true today. Ministers are fallen men, just like all of us. They need to be constantly in our hearts and in our prayers. So that's what Paul's doing here. He's lifting up Timothy with this address because he's aware that Timothy, he will need this. He will be constantly in need of this grace from Jesus Christ as he attempts to carry out this commission that he's given to preach the true gospel. And another point I wanted to make off of that, Paul understands that any success that Timothy has as a minister, as a preacher of the gospel, any success he has is 100% dependent on the grace that comes from Christ Jesus. That's true of anything we do, but especially in the ministry. Any success, any furtherance of the word, any building up of a church, any encouragement of another individual in their Christian walk, that's all dependent on the grace of God. And he has to be in control of that, and he has to be blessing those labors that Timothy is attempting here. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, it says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. We see Paul, he's thanking Christ for enabling him or strengthening him to be counted faithful enough to put him in the ministry of God. Timothy was called to be a minister of God's kingdom and given gifts of teaching and knowledge and of the law of God's word. But ultimately, as I was saying, any success that any minister has must be attributed to the grace of God. Even the most gifted and eloquent, thoughtful pastors, they owe all the success in the ministry that they have to a faithful and merciful God. And God uses gifted men for the ministry. And men in the ministry should be held to a high standard. But any good fruit, any thriving church, or any blessed ministry from any pastor is only possible because of what Christ did on the cross. And must be attributed to the grace of God with all humility and thanksgiving. So there's no room for boasting. And all the glory goes to God. And I just want to, this is a familiar passage to everyone, I'm sure, but I just want to read very quickly John 3:30. He must increase, but I must decrease. And that's why I believe Paul is giving this, this exhortation of grace, mercy, and peace. Because Paul understands that without the grace of God, any ministerial, attempts, by Timothy will be in vain. It is all by the grace of God. and should be attributed to the grace of God. All right, so moving on to verses 3 through 4 here. Paul is instructing Timothy to ensure that only one true gospel is preached. That's his statement here, his mission statement, I guess you could say, to Timothy, is to ensure that a true gospel message is proclaimed. Not a gospel changed to fit into people's preferences. Not a gospel added to or subtracted from with speculating fables or endless genealogies. Such false teaching only brings about questions that can only be answered with more speculation. And such questions hinder the advance and growth of God's work and his children. God's children should be growing in faith and progressing from one degree of glory to the next. And that Brother Lewis has been talking about that a lot. We'll turn there just briefly. It's in 2 Corinthians 3. Verse 18. But we all with open face, beholding in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. So the progression of the Christian should be growth. It should be expanding in knowledge about God, expanding in Christ likeness. It should be a ongoing attempt and an ongoing growth at changing from one degree at a time to the image of Christ. And that message is found in the Word of God. That is what the gospel message is saying. It's not the Word of God plus whatever abstract or false teachings we add to it. That is the Word of God, that we be sanctified and that we continue in that growth as we go through our Christian walk. And a false teaching that Paul is describing here that is hijacked by speculation, by discussions that don't lead to anything but a head knowledge or feeling intellectually good in ourselves, it's vain, and it's not edifying to the Christian. It's not edifying to the Christian walk. And so that's what Paul is addressing Timothy here to do, is to put an end to that and to make sure that the true gospel is proclaimed. The pure and true word of God needs to be proclaimed with all authority, and the true word of God that fosters growth in faith. So I want to turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, I'm going to read verses 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, boldness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So those are the fruits of the Spirit. So any teaching that's being proclaimed from the pulpit or from wherever that doesn't add to that, or that doesn't take the fruits of the Spirit and make them the goal of Christian growth, those aren't truths that are going to help the Christian grow to be more Christ-like. Those are the fruits of the Spirit. And that's what we see in the true gospel message, is that we should be growing in faith and patience and love and long suffering. And those should be things that are getting better as we progress in the word, in prayer, in meditation. And a false doctrine is not going to allow those to grow as they should, allow those fruits of the Spirit to flourish as they should. A false doctrine that is preached for vainglory or for whatever reason, other reason you can think of, is going to hinder the growth of the Christian. And that's why it's important that the one true gospel message is proclaimed. And that's why Paul, again, is asking Timothy to abide at Ephesus, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. No other doctrine but the true doctrine of the gospel. And anything that's contrary to these fruits of the Spirit that are in the true gospel, don't proclaim those to be true. A true gospel that ministers not only to the members of the church, but to the ministers themselves. I thought this was really a really cool passage because it's in 1 Timothy 4. It's verses 15 and 16. Paul says, meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself, unto the doctrine, teaching, continue in them, for in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. So a true teaching, a true gospel teaching, it's not just beneficial to the members of the church or the members of the body. It's ministering to the pastors, to the ministers themselves. It builds them up as well in proclaiming truth. Everyone grows. All of God's children grow as the true gospel message is preached. It's not, and a true gospel message, it's not based on vain speculations. It highlights the need for grace and in every aspect of the believer's life. Grace is to be, given the credit for, and this should serve as a warning as well to the children of God, to be aware of false teaching, and pointless speculations that serve no other purpose in the growth of the Christian's life than to just add to pride, to add to vain speculation, silly discussions that aren't edifying. In 2 Timothy 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 23, but foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. That's, I think, wraps it up pretty nicely there, that the vain speculation, the vain guessing, or the vain attempts at pursuing a doctrine that's not the true gospel, it disturbs the unity that God really desires and commands from his church. And that's why being unified under the true gospel message is so important. Because if you're not, and the gospel you're trying to preach is based on your own speculations, then you're going to have a different speculation than someone else, which is going to lead to disunity, arguments, and the church falls apart. But if the center is the true gospel message of Christ, if that is the foundation, then you start from a place of strength and you can grow to more strength over time. But if you start from a place of speculation that you couldn't get three people to agree on, then it's going to lead to a disunity in the church, which is not what the gospel message should bring. The true gospel message should bring a unity. The unity of the church, it's meant to be held together by one true gospel message, centered around Christ and not tainted by the foolish additions of men. So again, that's the warning. So let's be eager to search out the truths found in God's word so that the lies and false teachings will stand out. When you hear something that doesn't seem, you know, like it was formulated based on the word of God, then it will sound off to someone who has been reading and studying the true gospel. So that's verses 1 through 4 there, and that's Paul's instruction to Timothy. That's what Paul is instructing Timothy to do. The last portion here, and we'll combine these, it'll be verses 5 through 11. So this is the goal. This is the end goal, is what I'm titling this section. This is what Paul would see happen. And we'll look at that as we move into it. So verse 5 says, "Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned." Now we see that the end of the commandment, or the goal of the commandment, is love out of a pure heart, or charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and from a sincere faith. This commandment could be an order given to Timothy from Paul. It could be the order that he's commanding him to be. Or this could be the commandment of the law, which properly understood through Scripture should lead to a love for God, a deeper knowledge of who God is, and a love for others above a love for self. So we'll see as we go into verses 6 and 7 that because the true gospel is not held to as the foundation, having turned aside, it says in verse 6, "from which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling or foolish talking." So there are some that have come to a very incorrect conclusion about the law because they have an incorrect gospel. They have an incorrect understanding of the true gospel message. And it leads to an incorrect conclusion about the law as well. But let's turn to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13, and I'm going to read verse 10. "Love worketh no ill will to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law." So we see there, as it says in verse 5, now the end of the commandment is charity. This commandment mentioned in verse 5, it cannot be properly obeyed or followed without following the true teaching of the gospel. Or rather, it would lead again to endless questions that do not edify the body of Christ. If this commandment is not understood through a true gospel message that Christ came, was crucified for our sins, and there was no other means for us to justify ourselves, if that true gospel is not what is held to, what is preached, then you're going to come to all sorts of incorrect conclusions about other aspects of Scripture. A false doctrine or a false teaching of the gospel will lead to an improper understanding of the law. And again, we see that in verses 6 and 7. And I'll read those really quick. "From which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm." We see here that some, they turned aside, they turned away from the true gospel, which in turn led to a false and wrong conclusion about the law. They want to be teachers of the law, it says in verse 7, but because they've departed from the true gospel message, their foundation is wrong and based on vain talking and meaningless talking and speculation. So their conclusion, so their foundation is wrong, and so their conclusion about the law is wrong, and they don't understand what they're even claiming. They don't understand what they're saying. They're speaking from a place of vanity. And if the foundation is wrong, the house will not stand. In Mark chapter 3, Mark chapter 3, verses, Mark chapter 3, verse 25. "And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand." And again, you see that the straying from a true gospel, straying from the one true teaching of God's word, will lead to a split. It will lead to destruction. It leads to an improper foundation, which leads to a house that is divided and it won't stand. Which is why it is so critical that the true gospel message be preached with all power and authority. And that's what has to be held to, as the glue that combines, the unity in the church. It has to be founded on a proper teaching, a proper understanding of the gospel. So a proper understanding of the gospel shows the law as what? If we are properly holding to the gospel, a message, what does it show the law to be? So I'm going to turn to Matthew chapter 22. You don't have to turn here if you don't want to. I think we'll all be familiar with this passage. But Matthew 22, and I'm going to read verses 37 through 40. Let's see. Here. Jesus said unto him, he asked, what's the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So what's the law to us with a proper understanding of the law through the gospel? It is that we love God, that we love others more than ourselves, and that we put others before ourselves. Turning back to Galatians here. I don't want to mess this quote up, but Galatians 5:14, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So a true gospel message reveals the law to mean we should seek to understand God more fully through his law. We should seek to love God more fully. We should seek to put others above ourselves, to love others more through his law. And without the gospel message, you don't get that from the law. The law is a schoolmaster. It is something that condemns and condemns and condemns, and that you're always going to come up short from. But because of a true gospel message, the law is shown to be a place where we can further seek to be made more like Christ, and seek to love others, and put others above our own needs and wants and desires. And that's what a true understanding of the law should lead to. That's what the commandment should lead to, as it says in 1 Timothy. Let me turn back there. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart. So love out of a pure heart. Jesus says in Matthew 22, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So growth in the Christian life is brought on by a proper understanding of the law that leads to a love for God and his people. That we love one another in humility, and put the needs of others above our own. Verse 8 in 1 Timothy chapter 1 says that the law is good when properly used. Verse 8, but we know that the law is good if a man uses it lawfully. Verse 9 says the proper use of the law is to point out sinners, knowing this, that the law is not made for righteous man, but for the lawless and the disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for killers, for the restraint of sin. That's one reason we have the law, to show us what sin is and how much God hates sin, to condemn sinful acts against the holy God, and to make it obvious that outside of Christ, we're dead in sin. And we can do nothing in our own power to save ourselves from sin. And it's only because of the grace that we have in Jesus Christ that we are saved from sin. And it's only because of the grace and mercy of Christ Jesus that we can have a pure heart washed clean by the blood of the Lamb, a clean conscience that we can be renewed by the grace of Christ, and a sincere faith made strong through the faithful sayings found in the Word of God. So it's only because of the grace of Christ that at the end of this commandment, by the end of the commandment, as it says in verse 5, we can have charity or love from a pure heart and of a good conscience and of a good, of a faith unfeigned, or a sincere faith. So what's the goal? So the goal of the commandment is that a love of God and others with a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith can flourish and grow under the sound teaching of the gospel. Verses 9 and 10 in 1 Timothy 1 go on. They give an extensive list of sins. Not all sins, because they couldn't all be listed there, but sins that are contrary to the gospel, to sound teaching. The law and the true gospel are not at odds. And you see that as you dig into this passage. The true gospel and the law of God are in harmony. They are working in unison. They're not at odds with one another when properly understood. The gospel shows that the law of God is not for us to speculate upon. It's not for us to have guesswork on, should we hold to this law? Should we not hold to this law? The true gospel shows what the law is there for. And the law is there, to lead us to love one another, to love God more, and to put others above ourselves. As it's mentioned, in verses 7 and 6, if you don't have a true gospel understanding, then the law is not going to do you any good. It's going to lead to an incorrect understanding of the law. So it goes on to say in verse 11, according to the glorious gospel, this is back in 1 Timothy here, chapter 1, verse 11, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. That's why this is, and it says in verse 10, if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, to sound teaching, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God. So why is this sound teaching? Why is it sound teaching to condemn these sins, or to condemn sins that are contrary, to sound doctrine? Because that sound doctrine is according, as it says in verse 11, that sound doctrine is according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. This gospel is according to God. It is not according to our own understanding. It's not according to our own vain speculations. This gospel is what God has said. This is inspired. And it's true because it's according to the blessed God. This is the actual gospel of the living God. This is why God finds it to be sound teaching, as it says. At the end of verse 10 there, it says sound doctrine, sound teaching, because God is the author and the finisher of this gospel. And this gospel is for the glory of God, not for our own glory, which would be vainglory. And this glory of God is worthy of all glory and honor and praise. So in conclusion, let us read Scripture with a humble heart so that any knowledge that we gain can be rightly attributed to the grace and mercy of Christ that He has and is pouring out on us, and read Scripture intentionally so that areas of growth will be highlighted and exposed by the Word. And so that this degree of changing, of Christ working in our lives, changing us from one degree of glory to the next, can be attributed to the grace and mercy that we have in Christ Jesus and in His true gospel, in His true Word, and not in some, you know, head knowledge that we feel like we can pull out of Scripture, even when it's not clear, even when it's not, you know, backed up by any study or backed up when you ask someone else, hey, what do you think about this passage? Is it saying this? Is it saying that? Reading Scriptures and studying the Word with humility and with a heart of, God, show me how I need to grow. Show me how I need mercy in this area and that area. Humble me, God. Humble my my feeble attempts to become more Christ-like. Reading Scripture with that mindset, with that mentality, I think is far more beneficial than reading Scripture to just get some kind of a knowledge out of it that is good for nothing. It's just, like I said, a head knowledge, an intellectual knowledge. So that's all I had out of that passage from 1 Timothy. I hope that was a blessing and encouragement to everyone.